Welcome to episode 6 of Musically Meditated. I'm your favorite podcaster's favorite podcaster, Joe Riley. And I got my Serbian sidekick over here, Sretton. How you doing, Sret?
Very excited. Always.
Great. How's the Green Door? What's going on this weekend?
It's doing well. This weekend, we have tomorrow, we're hosting Jessica Haug. I always forget how to say her last name. We got her art in the store. We're going to have an artist night. Next week, we're having zine night, both on Friday nights. Yeah, those are the two events so far. Any other thing might be private music stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been cool so far. So far, so good.
I will definitely be there. I remember I met her at the private zine thing a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And she's an awesome, lovely lady. I like her a lot. I love her art, too.
Yeah, her art's real cool.
So everybody should come out and check that out. However, let's move on. Let's move on to music. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here.
Every week I say that I'm excited. This week I'm excited because you're very excited.
I am
because
excited.
One of your favorite bands just dropped an album.
One of my favorite bands just dropped an album, and then maybe one of my most favorite bands of all time. I gave a shout out to it last week, so I'm going to review it as if it came out this week too. But we'll get into that. But I'm going to start off first with Converge. This album really pumped me up. This is really good. This is their 9th release. This is their 9th. Full studio release.
I knew you were excited because you were texting me at the beginning of the week. You're usually really patient about like when we're gonna do this and schedule all this stuff, and you were just like, when can we do it? And today I think I texted you at like 8 this morning and you're like, I'm ready now. And I was like, oh.
They released, I think, 4 singles before they dropped this. The first single, technically, they pressed it on a 7-inch. And they had a music video for it. I'll get into that here during the review. The anticipation was building up, and I'm pumped up. Like I said, it's their 9th studio album. They formed in 1990. If you haven't heard of Converge, I would call them melodic hardcore, hardcore punk, mathcore, post-hardcore. What's really neat, too, is Jacob Bannon, the lead singer, has his own record label, which is called Death Wish Incorporated. That has a ton of other awesome bands. You know, if you're looking into the melodic hardcore punk scene, it's the best label. And there's a ton of bands, like I mentioned, that they've introduced me to that I follow and I love and I've seen live and so on and so forth. But check out Death Wish Incorporated. Great artist. Also, he is a freelance artist himself. He does a lot of graphic design and like computer type of art. And he's done a ton of different bands' album covers, like even commercial. Like, he's a badass artist. His name's Jacob Bannon. The guitarist, Kurt Ballou, has God City Studios, and he's an awesome, awesome producer. Like, a lot of bands in this type of genre, you know, in the hardcore genre, or melodic hardcore, heavy metal, have stepped through his door, and he started like in the early 2000s, and he is just an awesome producer. Like, he's done a lot of different bands, but especially with this album here, I mean, he is at his best. Like, he works with different companies that put out pedals and whatnot, and he's just a great producer. So I could go into all different types of things at Converge. I'm a total fanboy and I love them. And like I said, they've been around since 1990.
Where are they from?
They're from Salem, Massachusetts.
Okay.
And they were like your basic hardcore band, I would say, up until about 2000, 2001. And when those 2 years came out, they got Ben Kohler, which is their newer drummer. And if you read articles too, like, he brought in a new life to them, and he is an awesome drummer. He's totally like Animal from the Muppets when you see him live. He is. Like, I've gone to see Converge live at least double digits, probably like 10 to 12 times, okay, like throughout the last 15 years. Like, I love him. And
I'm laughing because he's your Dave Matthews.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, what's Dave Matthews' drummer's name? Like, that guy's good, but
he's really good.
Yeah, but Ben Kohler's awesome. Like, these guys, too, they have, like, a ton of different side projects.
I'm goofing because you're the music guy. I've seen Dave Matthews. I'm about to hit double digits. My girlfriend's seen it, like, she's in the, like, 30s or something.
Oh, wow.
Something like that. So, and I've been around the cult.
I'm in like the almost mid-20s with the Deftones live, but
so it's cool.
So there's that. Yeah.
But, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I mean, if you love them, you love them, and you got to support them, and they always provide. Like, you go see Converge, they're going to play at least like almost 2 hours, like a 25 song set. You know, not all their songs are really fast, or no, all their songs are fast, but they're not long in duration. You know, like they have some that are a minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes. But going back to Ben Kohler and the drummer, he brought a new attitude to the band, and he did it with the Jane Doe album. So if you haven't ever listened to Converge, check out that album. It's their best. Really paved the way for a lot of different artists as far as the melodic hardcore scene or punk rock scene or grind. Like it's a great album, so start there. So this is their ninth, back to this. It's called The Dusk in Us. And with the first track, it's called A Single Tear. And this was a single. This was their third single that they released. And right off the bat, it starts off with a really cool guitar opening. And that's Kurt Ballou, and he shines the most on this album. He's always been an awesome guitarist, but he's the producer. I don't know if he's putting extra touches on his stuff, but he shines. Like, his guitar work is amazing. And then right after the guitar intro, the song in the chorus, it has a cool, like, shout anthem. And Nate Newton, the bass player, he has side projects too. He comes in and he matches the vocals, and he just keeps shouting A Single Tear. And it just has like a really heartfelt vibe. And another thing with this, like A Single Tear, I read about what the lyrics were. And Jacob Bannon says this has a lot to do with him. Like, he just became a father and got married. And it has a lot to do with like a new meaning in life, having to travel and go on tour and doing his art stuff and having to leave his kid. Like, his life has a new meaning. There's a lot more to his life besides his do-it-yourself punk rock record label art band, you know. So that's what this song was about. But this song has like a goodbye vibe, like, I'll see you when I get back, A Single Tear, I'm shedding a tear, I miss you. And that's one thing about Converge, there's a lot of really heartfelt stuff. Like, when you listen to them, you hear a lot of chaos, but if you open up the book and read the lyrics, it's like, this guy is a poet. He writes really, really good heartfelt stuff. So yeah, I really like how it starts off with the guitar. Nate comes in and he helps out with the chorus. Like I said, I want to go back to the feeling, how this song made me feel. It just had a very raw, emotional farewell, I'll miss you, I'll see you when you get back kind of thing. The second track is called Eye of the Quartet. And this is where Ben really shines with the drums. It starts off with the drumming and it's just tight. It's ferocious. It's chaotic. It's spastic. Like, he's the guy that kind of goes off and does his own thing, but always brings it back. It's chaotic, but it makes sense. The guitar, it's just a trashy sound. The bass has a great overdrive. The other track that I like is Under Duress. That was the first single. This song is a total banger. We talked earlier about working out and like getting pumped up. This is the song I want to listen to before I go fight in an MMA match. This is the song I want to listen to in the morning if I forgot my coffee before work. This is the song like I want to listen to like conquer something. I don't care what it is that particular day. Like, whatever is upsetting you, you put this on and you will persevere. Like, that's what I love about Converge. It's like you can move a glacier, you know. Like, they're confident, their sound is confident, and this is a good opening track to check them out. Like I said, the guitar has like a siren sound, like a police siren, so it catches your attention and it kind of gets your blood to boil. It's a noisy guitar, it's dirty, lots of feedback, a lot of crunch. Nate Newton, once again, the bass player, he does backup vocals. They shine. They sound really great, but he's always got a really cool overdrive and the thickness. It's just moving, like the rhythm section with the bass and with the drums, it's moving. The build-up, they're always a really good build-up band before the chorus, and they do that. It's very, you're anticipating the climax. They're a very good band of highs and lows with that. It's just got a war vibe. The song has a war vibe. Like, you want to go to war and you will win. Like, this song is confidence. So, you know, Under Duress, you can kind of understand. You can make up your own observation about what the lyrics are, but I love it. It's a banger. It's a good song to check out, Converge. The next track that I really like is called Arkhipov Calm. And I guess the guy's name, Arkhipov, was some kind of old fighter pilot. Mm-hmm. You guys can Google that if you want. But this is my most favorite track by far. This shows how super tight Converge is as a band. You know, Jacob's vocals is always screaming and in your face for the most part. But when I talked about the chaotic drums, that's going on with a lot of off timing here. But like, his snare taps and the guitar picking and the bass work, they're always in sync together, and there's a lot of stop and go in this, and I love it. It's got a an old school Dillinger Escape Plan kind of vibe, but they bring that grime and that grit, especially on this song. Crazy song structure. That's what I'm really loving about this album. Converge is usually in your face, and it's an assault and it's an attack. But with this album and this song, they're really, really pushing their limits. Like they're pushing themselves to writing songs that doesn't sound overly like, hey, look at us, but they're pushing themselves. They're seeing what they can do and what they can't, and they're pulling it off. And with this song, it's like a math metal, math core vibe. It's complex, crazy time signatures and stops and goes, and they just kill it. Like the song leading up to it, like the tracks that I talked about, like, love them. But when this came in, I'm like, oh, I love the song structure. Like they're experimenting here, and they're kicking ass.
It's always nice when you hear a band start to experiment with their sound or kind of expand what else they could do, try new things, but still sort of, it's almost like I'm gonna pull a Joe. It's like a tree that breaks off in branches, right? And so it's the same tree. So it's the same sound, but it's something totally, maybe not totally different, sometimes totally different. There's some bands that will do something new, and when they advertise it, when they drop their album, they'll do the interview and they'll say, you know, this is a whole new way that we're doing things. And then you listen to it and it sounds almost nothing like anything they did before, and it does throw you off because maybe you're the fan of each member of the band's ability to play music or their guitars, but still that's not what you are a fan of or fell in love with. So sometimes there's an adjustment. Or some people just go, I'm not into this. I don't want this. I'm going to wait till they go back to the sound that I fell in love with. It's nice when a band, the heart is still the same, right?
Oh, yeah.
But then they're trying other things. They're expanding is a, do you have a better word? Your music vocabulary is better. Yeah,
they're pushing their own boundaries. They're really trying to see what they can do themselves as musicians. And I'm talking about Kurt the guitarist, Nate the bass player, and Ben the drummer. Okay.
And they're pulling it off.
Now, they always have, but this song, like, if you haven't listened to Converge a lot and you put this is my favorite, you'd be like, what is going on? Like, this is crazy, but this is what I want to hear as like a fan since 2002. Like, push yourself, like, prove it. And they're proving it. Like, this is the track, like, good luck anybody else in this kind of melodic hardcore, anything heavy, good luck keeping up with these guys. And I'm calling out death metal badasses, I'm calling out grindcore, whatever your extreme metal is, it doesn't get better than that.
Mm-hmm.
It does not, in my opinion. It does not. Like, it's perfect. Everything about it is perfect. Like, you want complex, you want different time structure, different time frames, they're bringing it. And not only that, what Kurt's production, the guitarist, it sounds awesome. It doesn't sound overly produced. Like, it is, like, in an engineering type of way, but it still sounds like it could, you know, the guitar's in the corner of the garage. Like, he brings it with the production, and that's a good song to check out. I love it. It's called Arkhipov Calm. I don't know if I'm saying that right because it's somebody's last name.
Mm-hmm.
I read about it a little bit earlier. The other song that I like, the fifth song, because I'm going to go through this album just real quick, basically song by song. It's very basic, Converge. It's called I Can Tell You About Pain. This was the first single that I mentioned earlier with the video. It's basic Converge, but at the end it has an awesome breakdown, the world's ending Armageddon type of breakdown. Like, they always bring the hardest hitting breakdowns, and it just sounds not forced and honest and just beautiful. The sixth track was okay. The seventh track was Wildlife. That was okay. Back to the sixth track really quick. That is, I don't want to say it's okay, because this is where they're pushing themselves to. Let me backtrack real quick. That's The Dusk Is In Us. That's the album title track. It's slow. It's dreary. It's somewhat depressing. But Jacob, the singer, is actually singing, which is nice. And that's really bold of him to do, because in the past, he wasn't the best singer. I'm not saying he is the best singer, but it sounds good. He's pulling it off with the type of music that's going on, which is a really kind of abstract, I don't know, melodic, like ambient, detached, just slow, dreary, rainy track. That's the best way I could describe it. Like, there's really no basic structure, song structure with it either, but it's a good song. But kudos to him taking a chance. Like I mentioned earlier, like, they're doing different things here. They've had their slow, dreary songs, but his vocals, they sound good. You know, I hear a little bit of The Cure and the Depeche Mode and some new wave stuff on his sleeve there, you know, just a little bit. Seventh track, Wildlife, It's All Right. Eighth track, here's another one. This is probably my second favorite. This is a badass song. This is the kind of track why I love this band. It opens up with like a crazy sounding, like a crazy guitar sample or just like a noise. And then it goes into the drums, and the drums have this crazy off time beat. Ben does that the best. And then all of a sudden the bass comes in and all the band comes in at once with like a chug-a-lug progression. And then it abruptly stops, and then it goes back into that opening guitar noisy sample, and then it goes back into a drum and bass kind of rampant crazy converge progression, you know. So I like, they'll catch your attention with like a weird dreary sounding guitar, then the drumming, it comes in off time bass, so it, you know, it's going in the right direction. Like the snare taps and the guitar trim picking, the stops and goes, they're exactly precise on, like they flow. Converge has this dynamic of fast pace, like body blows almost, and then they'll slow it down to like a sinking ship. Like it sounds like a slowly sinking, like you're watching Titanic like sink slowly. Like they have that vibe when they slow down the progression and like the chug-a-lug, and then it just has this like terrible, you're not gonna live, swimming against the current vibe. Like it's just a very it's just an anxiety feel, like here it comes, and then you drown. But that's what they do. So they have it goes into that, and then it ends with just this crazy chug, like I keep saying chug-a-lug, but like a slow moving train, it's just thick. The production is so thick here, like it doesn't get any better, like the bass, the guitar, the drums, but it's just so thick, it makes your skin crawl. Like I love the way this song ends. It's like the meat and potatoes, you know, like it's extra thick with extra gravy thick, like I can't stop. Like it's the stuff that when you go to a show like this, when this part kicks in, people are going crazy. They're going ape shit, you know, like people are getting pushed around or whatever, but I love it. So it's the best ending on the whole album. It's a great track. Merc and Morrow. I love it. The ninth track, it's called Trigger. This song, the bass really shines out. It has a cool intro, classic overdrive, and it has this weird swagger, like a jangly rock and roll. And then the drums come in, and it has like a cocky, like a cock rock 80s vibe as well. Like kind of like you can almost clap along to it.
That's a term.
What's that, cock rock? Yeah, you know, like old Warrant or something. Yeah, yeah. Or like it just has this like.
I just never heard of it. It makes 100% sense.
Doesn't it?
I don't know if I made that up
or something, but you know what I'm saying, like old cock
absolutely,
rock.
Absolutely, I know what you're saying.
And the guitars too, they have like an old, like a. Just like, I don't know if it's blues or what's going on here, but just kind of like a real swaggery, cocky, like here they are again, taking a chance, doing some shit that I've never heard before. Like, what are they doing? But they're pulling it off, you know? Then the vocals, and like the vocals come in. He's almost, I don't want to say like he's doing a rap thing, but he's just spitting a different way. And the song is just confident. Like it's a confident, like here we are now trying something different. Who else can keep up with us? Who else can? I don't know. I mean, I love these guys, but good luck any other hardcore band like trying to keep up with this shit, because these guys are going all over the place, you know? And like you know how it is when somebody walks in the room, if they're confident or not, like they came to win. Like this song is winning, you know? Like they come to win, and they're proving it with this song. This song is Converge at their best. I love this album. The 10th song, Broken by Light. It's basic trash punky. This is also cocky. It's very classic Converge. Like it closes with this really cool old school like Motorhead Slayer had like a shitty baby together, like trashy. I don't know if that's the right thing to say, but if Motor and Slayer had a baby, that's this song, and it's a baby that has an attitude. How about that? Is that PC? 11, that track is called Cannibals. That thing just masked that. It's just a face melter, and that's another arrogant, cocky song. Like, oh, so you're brutal? Oh, you think you're a brutal band? Beat that song. I don't care what genre you are. Like, you're not, it's not going to get any more brutal than that. Like, it's just in your face. 12 is another slow one with Jacob singing. It's called A Thousand Miles Between Us. Sounds great. Like I said, back with him, you could tell he's a screamer. He's singing here. Sounds confident. He sounds good. It's cool. It's cool to see Converge do some different stuff. And the last song is Reptilian. This was also a single. It was actually their first single. This is a good introduction song as well. If you've never heard them, like, hello, we're Converge. This is Reptilian. Check it out. Great song. And I give this album a 9 out of 10. I've listened to it about 3 or 4 times. So I'm going to give it a solid 9 out of 10. I love them. They're one of my favorite bands, but it's Converge. Yeah. So check it out.
I have a question for you. You told us before. How do you listen to these albums? When a new album comes out, and so I might make you repeat yourself a number of times on these, but can you go through your process of, because you listen like 4 different times, right? You listen on headphones, on your stereo, or in your car. Like, what's your process? You buy the album.
Every album's different, especially what kind of genre it is. With this Converge album, what I did, all the singles that came out, there was 4 different ones. I listened to them all on headphones. But when this whole album dropped, I listened to it on my PA system, which is ridiculously loud. Like, it's a PA. That's what you play small live shows through, like at a bar or something around here. I mean, it's 2 15-inch JBLs. Like, I play drums to it, or I'll play my bass to it too, or whatever, some guitar. But when I want to really get the full feel of a band like this, on the PA. So that's what I did. I probably listened to it on a hole on the PA once, and then after that I listened to it on a Bose stereo system, you know, like I forget what kind it is, but a nice sounding, you know, like Bose's quality stuff. But then I listened to it again on my headphones. So I listened to it 4 times. So I hope I'm explaining, like, am I explaining it well?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll ask you again, probably in a couple episodes.
Okay.
Just because I want everybody to know how you do it. It's not one of those things, we won't get into it, but a lot of times now, because of all the options with music and because of all the streaming services and different forms of, you still have CDs, you have MP3s, you have, now people are buying vinyl and,
right,
or have been, and there's an uptick with that. A lot of people that will shit on some music, and they've only heard it once.
Yeah,
they hear a song, and they're like, eh, it's okay. But I think it is pretty valuable to hear something, especially to give it right, like a full, like, this is garbage or this is good. You just get more out of the music when you can hear it a handful of times.
Yeah, because there's albums that's like, I don't like at first, and then the more I listen to them, I do like it. Like, with this Converge album, like, when I talk, oh, this was a basic Converge track, I remember kind of maybe skipping through it, but you have to sit with an album and let it grow on you. Now, I've only streamed this on Spotify, but I pay for Spotify, so I have the option to listen to clear quality. I haven't purchased this yet on vinyl, and vinyl is another way too, because they track it different, you know. So vinyl is a whole nother listening experience, like, depending on what kind of stylus you have and stuff. Like, I own quite a few Converge albums on vinyl. Vinyl is a whole nother listening experience. I'm sure I'm going to buy this one on vinyl because I do like it a lot. Like, they've never really put out they haven't put out anything crappy since Jane Doe. Like, Jane Doe is still their best, in my opinion, but they've always, you know, they're always putting out something quality. To go back to, just real quick, Brand New, I know I talked about them on maybe the second or third podcast. I didn't care for that album at first. I had to really sit with it and listen to it. And I've come to find, and my father and I have talked about this, if you really love the album the first listen, it's not worth a shit. There's some truth to that. Like, a grower is better than a shower, you know? Like, and there's albums, I feel like, if you really have to sit with it.
I have an embarrassing example based on what your father said.
What's
and
that?
It is true.
What's that?
Years ago, I discovered, let's say, what year was it? About 2000, maybe 1998. I was in Lafayette going to school, and I discovered Insane Clown Posse.
I remember them.
I bought the only 2 albums they had, or CDs.
Okay.
And I went home, and that night, I just played those over and over. For some reason, I thought it was amazing. I liked their album art. I liked the whole clown theme. I listened to the raps. That particular night, I thought it was great. I thought they were funny. And
yeah, they were. I remember their first couple
funny stuff.
Albums.
Went to bed. I wasn't even up late. Went to bed the next day. I play the album. Ooh, I did not like it. I had exactly 2 hours where I was like, this is good. The first play, I was like, this is awesome. I'm a fan. The next day, I was like, I need to find somewhere to sell these. And so, yeah, they just sat there and collected dust. I had 2 hours of fandom with Insane Clown Posse. No knock against you. If you like them, that's fine.
Yeah, if you like them, they're not my thing. I remember them back in the day. I liked them, too. And it's funny you said that. I was cleaning out my garage like last summer, and I found old cassette tapes. And I could tell they were mixes that I made because, remember, you used to have to put the tape on the top square mm-hmm. parts
yep.
to re-record over yep. tapes you stole from your parents, basically. So I'm like, oh my God, it still had the tape on. I'm like, who knows what's on this? And I put it in, and the song that came on right away was the Insane Clown Posse song. I forget the name, but they're like on a game show.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that song?
No, I don't remember.
I don't remember the name, but it's still funny. And it was good. Then we had like one buddy that loved Metallica and Insane Clown Posse like back in 98. So yeah, that was on there. Like you could tell it was a mixtape from like 97, 98, right. Like back in the day. But yeah, man.
You have to take it in. Like you said, that you is do. Your quote. Growing on the show. It yeah, is. It's you got to let it settle in.
And Converge is an abrasive band. Like it's not for everyone by any means, but.
It's very hard to understand the complexities of recording and the music, the musicality, the musicians, their abilities, and all the work they do putting together the songs. If you just like listen once, there's no way you could catch stuff. I mean, right. Yeah, if you got a great ear, you're listening to a good sound system, you'll pick up on a lot of it. I know when I watch a movie, I'm crazy about movies. I'll pick up on the smallest little sound effects in the background and certain types of music. I'm a big movie score fan.
Yeah.
So I'll pick up on that kind of stuff. There's certain things you got to listen a handful of times before you actually get that it's like wine.
It's a fine, yeah, it's a fine wine.
I'm acting like I drink wine, but
I think you do.
I mean, you get what I'm saying. That's why I asked you the question in the first place, because you do it properly. That's one of the reasons that like your voice is a good voice to listen to as far as opinions when you want to know what kind of new music to listen to.
Right, right.
I appreciate your voice is respected because you're not just some dude that was just like, yeah, I heard it once, and you just stick to that opinion. I also like that your opinion is, you're actually very flexible and open to other music.
All genres. So I listen to all genres, I do.
So it's a good thing.
I do.
That way, you know, when you listen to somebody, there's a ton of people that want to review movies, music, all those things, because they're easy. You can have an opinion, and it's very important to have the attitude that you have. That's what I'm saying, Joe. Good job.
Thank you. Great job. But yeah, Converge is something, without a doubt, You could dig into it. You can dig into the lyrics. You can dig into the artwork, which I do. I'm a fanboy, and the lyrics and the artwork is great. But they are a band you put on to conquer whatever it is that I do. That's something I put on to conquer that day. I don't know if it's the last rep on the bench. I don't know if it's the extra minute on the elliptical. You know, the extra mile at the track. Yeah, I mean, and then it could be as something as you're stressed out at work. You know, you might want to smoke a cigarette or whatever it is you do, but put that on and it might it'll pump you up, but it'll make you chill after that too. You know, I mean, it's just something. Converge is just, they're a band that's dark, but there's always like a positive light at the end of the tunnel
mm-hmm.
with them, like especially lyrically. And to go back to their record label with Death Wish and their marketing through Jacob, the lead singer, they do a fine job. Like, every song that I talked about, this is something they've never done before. Every song that I talked about, they have a different t-shirt for every song on this album. And every one has its own artwork, and then it has its own color, like all the main colors, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then the lyrics are on the back. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
And then like the first 100, like you had to pre-order, but the first 100 pressings of the vinyl, it was like a rainbow. Like it had like a rainbow foil, like, coloring to it, and then it had like a rainbow vibe or so, you know, like all different colors on the vinyl. Like they do a great job. Like he takes a lot of time. They take a lot of time on their recordings, from the lyrics, the music, the artwork, the folding out of the vinyl. I mean, these guys do it, and they do it right. Like Death Wish Incorporated reminds me a lot of Discord Records with Ian McKay from Minor Threat. You know, like they're like, Converge is like Converge and Jacob are the new punk rock do it yourself, the same as Ian McKay from, like I said, Minor Threat. He was in Fugazi and he was in couple other bands. I can't remember right now, but they're the new do-it-yourself kind of thing, and I love it because you could apply that to your own life, and that's what hardcore and punk rock is all about. You know, like it's all about doing it yourself and persevering and getting through life. You know, and that's what Converge does to me. So I love this album. I love Converge. But let's move on. I talked about this artist. It was the first episode. I talked about a single, and it's Igloo Ghost, and the album is called Neo Wax Bloom. If you're not familiar, real quick, he's an electronic artist. He has a flavor, like genre-wise in the electronic thing. He's got footwork in there, IDM, hip-hop, and grime. He's actually from Ireland. His name is Seamus Magala, and he's awesome. And like I said, he's electronic, but when I said the word footwork, I want to get into this real quick because this has to do with the Calumet region, footwork, the type of genre. Mm-hmm. Not only is it a genre of music, and it's in the electronic aspect of things, but it's also a type of street dance that they would do on the south and west side of Chicago. And it started in like the early 90s. It's a mix, okay? It's a mix. It started off as a mix between ghetto house, juke, and basic house music. And what they do is they mix a lot of rapid rhythms with juke and ghetto house combined with drum and bass. So it's crazy. They use double time, like triplets synchronized with the toms, and they have like a really predominant sub bass drop that's going on. When you hear footwork stuff too, they use a lot of like samples from old school rap and pop albums. And it's usually a high beat per measure, like at 160, sometimes 220. So it's really fast. And there's some really cool YouTube videos. I had a friend show me what footwork was. He's an electronic artist. I'm going to have him on the show. His name's Mike Shirelli. He had his own record label. I don't know if he still does, but I'll bring Mike on here. Shout out to Mike. But he showed me what foot dance was. He was living in St. Louis at the time, and he would come and visit. I had no idea what it was. And he would put on the YouTube videos, and he would show me the dancing. And the dancing's crazy. It looks like, I don't know, it looks like Michael Jackson on meth or something. Like they just scatter all over. They're just doing this crazy dancing. And if you want to check out footwork, it's got a popularity now. Like I said, it started in the 90s. But the best artist to check out is Trackman. He's from Chicago. And I love Trackman. Mike turned me on to Trackman. So I know I'm going off on the footwork thing, but that's what Igloo Ghost does best. The first track, Pale Eyes, it's short and it's smooth. It's a good intro track in general. He blends a lot of saxophone here with harpsichord, and it has like a weird bubbly sound, kind of like a from another planet, like a bubbly alien vibe going on here. But what I like about this guy is he's able to blend like nice smooth melodies, but then he has that busy rhythmic beat like I was talking about with the footwork, you know? So he's got like this kind of like smooth 90s R&B hip hop grime vibe, but then he has the busy intricacies of the double toms and the sub drops and stuff. Like he blends it well, and it's kind of cool because he's mixing a couple different genres here. And there was something, I don't remember which single it was, but he commented on what his music, what it sounds like. And this was his comment, quote unquote, "Please imagine a monk called Yomi and a little bug boy in a cloak. His name is Yoso. They're having a huge fight, hopping over levitating fruit and firing lasers at each other." That's his own description for his own music.
Are you friends with this guy?
No.
You guys have the same? No, you've never had anything like that. No, that's pretty crazy.
That is good, though. You know? So if you're into, you know, there's
levitating fruit.
Levitating fruit. Like, if you're into electronic music and there's a lot of, I want to say younger, like, you know, late teens, early 20s, I see these kids are going to a lot more IDM festivals, and I don't really know what they're about. But if you're into that and you want to check out newer types of electronic music where this guy is mixing, like I said, grime, hip hop, IDM, footwork, like all together, like this is a good place to start. You know, like you can dance to the rhythm smooth parts of this, you know, to a regular beat, but then the footwork stuff, it'll throw you off. But it's a good way of checking out all kinds of different styles of electronic music. The other track that I like is called Super Ink Burst. This is his most aggressive track. It has rapid beats. And this is like the rapid beats of this track kind of remind me of like Mike Tyson hitting like a speed bag. You know, like if you ever watched any of that stuff, like in the early 90s, like that's how the beats are coming at you.
Terrifying.
And then it has like, he's blending a lot of cool saxophone sounds, but especially with this one, it's like a cool saxophone sound that kind of like goes up and down and kind of keeps you a little anxious. The next track is called Solar Blade. I love this. This has like a thick ass kick beat, you know, that will definitely have your head bobbing. Like this is music you want to listen to with a really cool subsystem, like in a car, like that obnoxious stuff that people had when we were younger with 12-inch Rockford Fosgate speakers or something. And then you want to have some tweeters too, because there's a lot of intricacies going on with this guy. But this track, like I said, it has a lot of good, I don't know, just it kicks your ass. And then back to this whole record, it's about 12 or 11 songs long. He uses this really cool high-pitched vocal thing, like he's sampling old rappers, or he sampled some old rappers, or maybe it's modern, I don't know, but he's sampling old rappers doing stuff, or like old Japanese R&B singers, but he's speeding it up to match the intricacies of the rapid beats. And it almost sounds like the Chipmunks, you know, like remember that when you were a kid, you'd like speed up the record to hear the Chipmunks, but he's doing that. And it's like a cool sound, like, almost has like, I remember Kanye used to do that like on the College Dropout album, you know, like he would kind of speed up the vocals. Like this isn't anything like Kanye, but maybe that's a good description. He does well with that. His production is really, really bright. Like there's like a childish vibe. Like even the album cover has like it almost looks like emojis, but there's like a real like cartoonish vibe.
Can we use the word whimsy?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
I like that word.
But it's really bright. Bright production, so bright. It's equivalent to that first winter day when the sun shines and it's so bright on the snow, you can't see. Mm-hmm. That's what his production is like. And that's it. That's it for that.
Yeah.
So I give this album a 7 for electronic. I know I talked about Fortet on some stuff earlier. That's some laid-back chill. This is fun. This is a fun record. So, you know. I like to keep it all over the place. I go into Converge. It's personal. It's dark. I love these guys. And then this like Converge is a good one to want to conquer, whatever it is. This is a good one to clean to. This is a good one to have on in the background, like if you're at work, to get stuff done. And this is a good one to dance to, you know, like I said, put it in your sound system. There's no vocals, you know, I mean, the sampling from, like I said, the rappers or some old Japanese R&B singers, but this is some really cool, fun, intelligent dance music.
Nice.
You know? So I love it. Now I want to move on to my favorite singles. And I've kind of gotten away from this maybe the past few episodes. I know I talked about A Perfect Circle, but first I want to give two shout outs to two singles that I like. This is all hip hop based. I didn't do it on purpose. It just came out this way. First shout out single is to Aesop Rock. It's called Hot Dog. If you know who Aesop Rock is, good for you. He has crazy weird, he has crazy wordplay, awesome production. He's from Minnesota. He's on Rhymesayers Entertainment. Check that out. And then this is kind of an older single. I think it came out in March, but I want to give this guy his props. He's a really, really good rapper. And this is a really fun single to check out too. He's a rapper from Harlem. His name's Your Old Droog. He's actually Ukrainian. You don't see that, and he sounds exactly like Nas. People were getting him confused for Nas when he first came out, but he's awesome. And this single is called Grandma Hips, and it has Danny Brown on it. And you should know who Danny Brown is, too. He's one of the best rappers out right now. He's from Detroit. And with Your Old Droog's voice and then Danny Brown coming in there and with the beat, it's just a fun, good, old-school hip-hop track. So check that out. Another one, you know I love Run the Jewels, right? I think a lot of people do. Static Selecta, he's a legendary New York DJ, New York producer. This is his track, but he has Killer Mike and LP on it. And it's cool because Static Selecta is from New York, so it has that kind of old school smooth jazz type of beat flow to it, which is nice because LP does all the production for Run the Jewels. And it's usually fun but somewhat aggressive, and he's got his own sound, so it's nice to hear these two as Run the Jewels on somebody else's shit, you know, and it sounds great. LP really kills it as far as bars really impressed with what he's with how he's rapping and what he has to say on this. Killer Mike's always awesome too, but shout out to LP. He's killing it on this. Really rapping well. Flying Lotus. Love Flying Lotus. This is an electronic music thing. The song is called Post Requisite. Really, really cool. It has this weird like 70s porn vibe. It has a weird 70s porn vibe, like, but on Planet Mars. So check out the video. It's on YouTube. It's crazy. And when I bring him up, he's actually coming to Chicago on Tuesday. So I'm going to go right into that with shows you should check out. And that show is on November 14th. And what's really cool is it's a 3D show and it's at the Riv. So I really want to make it to that. I'll see if it happens. Like, I just got into Flying Lotus, but if you check out any of his stuff online, it's awesome. So check out Flying Lotus. And then November 24th, A Perfect Circle is coming. I think I mentioned that before, but it's at the UIC. And that's about it for live shows.
Did you get an idea of when Converge is coming?
I want to say...
You said in the new year, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking like late February or March. Nothing's been released yet. But with the new album, I know that they're going to Europe first. Maybe. I mean, I think they just released maybe like a handful of shows. So I don't know exactly when it's going to be.
We got to get them in here.
We got to go. Oh, they'll be here.
I mean, we got to get them in the green door.
I'm going to try. I'm going to try too. We're going to really try.
I'm going to surprise you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You got connections?
I don't know.
Do you?
Just be like, surprise.
Surprise. That's about it. I'm musically meditated.
That's right.
I'm musically meditated.
That's right.
I'm musically meditated. That's right.